My name is Sandra Arnold, and today I'm speaking with Mr. Gregory Hummel. Can you please spell your name for the record?
Gregory Hummel, Hommel.
Okay, tell me a little.
Senior.
Senior. Now, you have a very interesting story. You are my first merchant marine I've interviewed. Tell me a little bit about what your mission was during World War II. What did you do?
Well, this was, it's a tanker, and its job was to carry crude oil from its port of origin to the refinery. It would discharge the oil at the refinery and go back and make another trip. So it would just run back and forth between, at this time, Puerto La Cruz, Venezuela, and Eagle Point, New Jersey. And that just would go on and on day after day.
Now, how long were you out to sea at one point from the time you left?
Each voyage took about 2 weeks. So I was only in the service, in the merchant marine for about 6 months, because then the war ended. It wasn't in early 1945 that I shipped out. And I got off then when the war ended in late August.
Okay, so you joined late. You were in the Merchant Marines later on in the war in
almost, 1945? I almost missed the end of it.
And how long were you in the Merchant Marines for?
About 6 months.
So just during the whole year of 1945 or 1945 and 1946?
In 1945.
Okay. And tell me a little bit about when you were transporting this material, was there any time where you had a scare, for instance, where there...
I had two things that kind of woke me up. One night I'd come back and just about gotten into bed and I heard footsteps running in the gangway and somebody hollering, "Purser, fire! Get off the ship! Purser, fire!" So I got up and dashed off the ship, and there was a fire between the ship and the dock. Oil had gotten on the water and had gotten ignited. Somebody threw a cigarette butt in it. And they had the hatches open, which was bad. They're venting the tanks. So I ran down and I went to a telephone and called and asked them for a tug to come and take the ship away from the dock. Well, the tug finally did come, but before the tug got there, they had managed to get the fire out, which was made me happy. And that was just the end of that. And then one other case. We had been running back and forth between Venezuela and Eagle Point without any convoy. Well, on one trip coming back, we had to anchor up somewhere just close to Cuba, and they put us back in convoy. And on the way, the third mate then made up a target with tanks and some wood, and they dumped that overboard, and they were going to try target practice from the gun on the stern. And I was passing the 3-inch, a part of the group passing the 3-inch ammunition. So they tried to hit the target, and they come pretty close. But I'm glad it wasn't a submarine.
I think your phone is saying something to you. It's saying Verizon Wireless something.
Oh, let me turn it off. In the building, it keeps losing the signal.
Oh, is that what it's doing? I tried to use my cell phone and it didn't work either, so you just can't use it in the building?
Yeah, certain places you can. You have to watch your signal. You know, your cell phone, so the little bars up at the top. You have to watch and see if you have bars.
Okay.
Most of the time in here, you only get one bar.
Okay. So tell me a little bit more with these.
Oh, one other thing was, then we were supposed to go into Eagle Point, which was the Chesapeake Bay entrance, but that time, the German subs were just starting to operate off the Chesapeake Bay area there. So they decided to take the tanker into New York instead of going into Eagle Point, New Jersey. They were just getting into the New York Harbor and all of a sudden, pow, pow, they let two depth charges go. So I never did know if they had anything or not. And then I had to redo the whole payroll, because the crew was on the ship. I had the payroll done for going to Chesapeake Bay. But I had to redo all the payroll. So that night, I worked up and I finished the payroll. And then I stayed up because the ship went down in the back of the Staten Island. I went down through the back waterways into the Chesapeake River to where it wanted to go in Eagle Point. I wanted to see that. So I stayed up and watched, stood up in the wheelhouse all that time. So I enjoyed it.
Now tell me, you had a couple of close calls and you were getting toward the end of the war. Where were you when Pearl Harbor, I'm taking you back to 1941, where were you when Pearl Harbor was hit?
I was visiting my father-in-law in Dumont, New Jersey. He had the television on about it. At that time, I had two little girls by that time. And that was part of the reason I had deferment up to all this time. Plus, I also got deferments by my job with Texaco. But then when they put me in the draft, put me up for a draft, I signed the Merchant Marine.
So that was an option that veterans had? You could join the Merchant Marines?
It was very hard to get in. Yeah.
So tell me, what was the training like to get into the Merchant Marines? Was it like a regular boot camp?
Well, I worked for Texaco in the Texaco Marine Department. And so, of course, I was doing accounting work. So Pursa was a natural fit for me. So I had no problem. I already had the training to do any of that type of work. I'd not have to take any special training. Like if I wanted to be an engineer on the ship or a captain or something like that, I would have had to go to a regular Merchant Marine school.
Now, did they make you do any physical tests, though? I mean, run a mile and a half?
None of that. None of that.
Well, that seems quite nice. So tell me a little bit about, you were in for 6 months, and why did you get out of the Merchant Marines?
I wanted to get back to my family. I didn't want that. That was not my full-time profession. My job was an accountant for Texaco in the Marine Department.
So now when you got... But
there's no comparison between the pay I was getting on the ship. On the ship, I was getting $137.50 a month. And with two children and a wife.
And was that a lot better than what you were, or worse than you? So they actually paid you worse as a Merchant Marine than they did as a...
Yeah.
Wow. Now, why is that?
That's what the pay scale is for the Merchant Marine.
See, I always thought that the Merchant Marines did very well.
If you're a top officer, yes. If you're engineers.
So now you get out of the Merchant Marines, and did you go right back to your job?
When I was finished, yes.
Now, did your family get a chance to write you any letters or anything during this time when you were deployed?
Well, I lived in Fort Lee, New Jersey at that time. And we went into Eagle Point, which was in the Philadelphia area, my wife come down to Philadelphia every time we came into port. So we'd rent a room in a hotel. We'd have a weekend or whatever time we had together. So it wasn't that I was away from home a long time. Every 2 weeks I would probably see my wife.
Is there anything else? I think we've covered just about everything in such a short time, because you were in the war at the very end of it, which was a good thing. You really avoided a lot of
the captain on the California had a gig. And I said, "Captain, don't you ever use that gig?" And he said, "No, the motor won't run." So I got the engineer to give me a couple of wrenches or something, so I went up and I took the carburetor off. And they had put there's a little pin in there to measure it. They had put that pin in backwards. So I was first and put it in, and it started right up. And the captain was so happy. He put the gig in the water, and he and I took a ride all around Port La Cruz. And he said, "Oh, that engineer, he couldn't fix it."
So you knew more than just paperwork.
Well, I was always messed with automobiles, and the carburetor is a carburetor.
Okay, well, I think we're done here. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
No, that's fine.
Any, anything? No other stories?
Nope.
Okay, well, you are a quick talker.